Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio.
The Footy's on the radio.
And your front row.
Fareem, welcome to the Friday Night Huddle for McDonald's McCafe.
Triple M rocks footy.
Huge show and a historic day for AFL football. We're under the roof at Etihad Stadium for the first time on Easter Friday. It is the Dogs taking on the Kangaroos. Massive show coming up on the Friday Huddle. And a bridge version, it must be said, but we've got a lot crammed in there. Luke Hodge joins us to tell us what on earth is going on at the Hawthorn Football Club. Ben Brown from the rooms, as he got his eye on Damien Barrett's job. Annie Nolan, the wife of Liam Picken, tells us about the emotional impact injuries have on footballers' families. Judge Juddy is back on the house. But more importantly today, what you need to do is jump on www.goodfridayappeal.com.au and donate now or call 1300 277 325. That's 1300 277 325. Driving up from the coast today, great to see so many people at the lights, etc., helping out the Good Friday Appeal and rattling the can. So that is what we're all about today. The big team is assembled. Luke Darcy is here, Chris Judd is here, Luke Hodge is here, Damien Barrett is here. Welcome to all you gentlemen. Before we get on to what this day is about, Damien, the last time I saw you was 2 a.m. in the back streets of Sydney last Friday night, where you and the judge were going looking for kebabs when me and Darcy were going into our hotel. Did you have any luck?
I think we, from memory, had to settle for one of those disgusting pre-made 2 years earlier hot dogs from a 7-Eleven. Hey, welcome to history though, Howie. It is. That's how we're greeted as we walked in today by the beautiful staff here at Etihad Stadium. And it is, isn't it? It is history.
It is a historic day. Luke Darcy's here. The judge is here. And before we get to you, Hodgie, is it true that you cleaned out 3 shelves at 7-Eleven last Friday night? I've been told, one of the great eating performances ever seen by that establishment.
I was hypoglycemic in the box earlier on, Harry, which we touched on. And perhaps the catering wasn't quite up to its lofty standards. So I did hoe into a couple of delicacies at 7-Eleven, which I'm not quite as sophisticated as Purple. I was very happy with them. But, you know, it shows my working class background.
Are we happy with Good Friday footy, Das?
I love Good Friday footy, Howie, and I'm very happy to be here. And I would love the opportunity, and I know this is going to be Bulldog centric. I'd love North Melbourne, the Bulldogs, to get 3 years to see if they can make this work and own a day. I know all my 4 kids are here. I know a lot of people are going, wow, this is a day that we know on the calendar we can make our own. If they get over 40,000, make a success, let them have a 3-year period to make it work and see if they can own the day, because they've both been wanting this for a long time.
And Luke Hodge, in many Hawthorn supporters' eyes, you have been compared to God in the past. Are you happy with this Good Friday-style operation?
I am. And as you said, a lot of the proceeds today go towards the Royal Children's Hospital. So, as I said, anything we can do to try and make a little bit of a difference to the kids' lives or make their life better while they're going through such a terrible time, I think it's a great thing by the AFL.
I think the conversation now, Howie, look, I think Das is right. They'll get 3 years, but I think very quickly the conversation will go to, when do we introduce a second game to the calendar? We've debated it now, haven't we, for I think every Saturday after Good Friday now on Triple M Footy for 10, 12 years. When are we going to get it? We've now got it. And you look at the NRL scheduling today, they've got matches at 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock. And to me, it's just a matter of time that that does happen. It won't be next year, but I reckon pretty soon, though.
No issue with that. I think the day can be marked, you know, respectfully. Hopefully, it is a big success for the Children's Hospital, as Hodgie said, and make sure you do donate and get on board with that, because you don't want to take. I think that was a reluctance in the past. You know, such an iconic day in Melbourne, this day, that we didn't want the football to detract from it. I think it'll add to it, and I hope the end financial result is as good, Howie.
1300 277 325 or goodfridayappeal.com.au. Last night, Thursday night footy on Fox. The footy show is up against that, Damien. Before we get into the game, that must have been a philosophical discussion, because normally the footy show steers away from going head-to-head with the footy.
Yeah, it does. As far as I know, Howie, the reasoning behind it was that it was a non-free-to-air game being played on Fox Footy. Obviously, West Coast Sydney, Victorian teams, obviously. And there's a string of Thursday night games coming up too. So I think that all factored into the reasoning behind going head-to-head with it.
The Swans, 0-4. No team in the history of the top eight have made the finals from that position, Juddy.
Look, it's going to make it tough for them, but they start to get some cavalry back. Heaney's not too far away, McVeigh, and a host of others. But I think their kids are actually playing really well. They just don't have enough contributors to last the full 4 quarters. But they were in a winning position there at various stages last night. But West Coast were just too strong at home.
We're up there at the SCG, sorry, Hodgie, last Friday night. You're sitting in the box, and I think it takes you a while to adjust, in my mind. This is Sydney. This is the SCG. This is a side that just wins over the last 14 years. And then you're looking through a list of names, and there's seven or eight players that virtually none of us had laid eyes on before. You put that many, you know, different players in a team, and it just has to have an effect. We'll talk to you about Hawthorn. You're in a very similar bracket at the moment.
Yeah, but with, as you said, with the Sydney, I thought at the 15-minute mark last night, they had all the play in their half, and then obviously West Coast go down and get two cheap little goals just through turnovers. But as you said, they were playing some really good football. I think it was just the experience of the West Coast that got them over line. Plus, Buddy going down, copping a few big knocks in the first half. You've got him hobbling around on one foot where they could probably play off him a little bit. So things aren't going Sydney's way at the moment, but they're still doing the right things, playing the young kids, and the young kids have got a bit of go, which is great.
Does anyone think they'll beat GWS next week? And if the answer to that is no...
No, I very much doubt they'll beat GWS next week.
Okay, so we'll say they're going to be 0-5, at least by way of the bookmakers' charts coming out for this week. They've then got, I'll just bang through them, Carlton, Brisbane, North Melbourne, St Kilda, and then Hawthorn. I would think they're going to win four at least of those remaining five to get them through to round 10, and I reckon they could quite easily turn 5-5. There's still a chance in the way this final series is set up, and with that week's break after round 23, I reckon if they just get in there, they're still going to be a chance some damage.
That's a really good point you make, because the Dogs have changed the mentality of it. It used to be, Hodgie, Clark has forever said, finish top four, that's what we aim to do. The Dogs changed that significantly last year, didn't they?
I think that comes in with the bye. As Damo said, he goes, as soon as that bye is there to rest up any sore body, so if you come in and you play the best 4 weeks and it's in September, that's all you need to do.
And that bye's also introduced a question mark about finishing in the top four and winning your first game and missing two games in 3 weeks. You know, we're still not sure if that's the best way to prepare for a finals campaign.
Yeah. The mindset's changed on that, hasn't it, on the back of what the Bulldogs...
Well, Adelaide Crows won 16 games last year and finished outside the top four. I mean, finished fifth. Mm. That's never happened in the history. So that top-end bracket, you do need to be... winning a hell of a lot of games to guarantee you. Now, 16 was always the bass mark. You're always going to finish top four, but no longer.
Now, Hodgie, the elephant in the room, you came in here today and you said, give me 10 minutes, give me 15 minutes to talk about what is happening to the Hawks. The floor is yours, 0-3, playing the Cats on Monday. This is the opportunity you've wanted. You've now got it.
Mate, I don't think they were the words that I used. But yeah, look, ideally last week wasn't a great game for us. Gold Coast... they beat us in every facet of the game. Gaz was back to being on fire as he's done for so long. It was great for the media to stir Gaz while we were about to play him. But look, I think people have to sort of settle down. It's three games in. We have changed a number of people that come into our side, whether it's through trade, whether it's through young guys coming up, whether it's through Ruffy being ill all last year, and also Langer's coming back in, who was injured for majority last year. So we've got 8, 9, maybe 10 blokes that are different, and that's going to change the demographic to any side. The way we move the ball is everyone's on the same page. And yes, it's not an ideal start for us this year, but I said the more we play together, the more we're around each other, the more we're training and playing into pressure situations, that's going to come along.
Did you read the article Choco Williams wrote in the paper today, Hodgie? Did you get a chance to have a look at that?
I saw pieces of it, but I didn't give a...
Well, paraphrasing it, he was saying that for his time again, people came to him after Port Adelaide won that period of time. They played in 9 out of 10 final series as a coach. They won the grand final, historic moment. And then he said he should have left then. And he's imploring Clarko, who was his assistant for a couple of those years, saying, mate, this isn't for you. This rebuild isn't for you. You've done your time extraordinarily, and my history will tell you that now is the time to get out. Do you see any credence in that at all?
I don't see that being Clarko. A person, if he was going to leave, he wouldn't have traded out a Mitchell over Lewis, because we would be a better team with them at the moment. He was looking at the future of the football club. He was looking at Jago Mira, Tom Mitchell, all these guys to come in, have an impact with the younger guys coming through. So he's looking at 2007, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 2018, 19, 20, 21 to be better for the football club. So he's looking for longevity. He's not going to pack up his bags and leave.
We talk a lot in the media and the fans about the loss of Sam Mitchell and Jordan Lewis. I think it's underestimated outside the footy club the importance of losing, well, first Mark Evans and now Chris Fagan, a number of really high-profile off-field staff as well.
Yeah, I think that just... I guess, and also Foxy as well is another one. So having stability off-field, it makes a lot of difference on-field as well. There's always support there. Missing Lewis and Mitchell, I think any team, they're going to be taking a backward step for a little bit. But I've got full belief in the guys that they've brought into the footy club. In the next 2 or 3 years, we're going to be a better football club for it, and it's going to make our success a lot longer.
Well, do you feel it is, and clubs are loath to use this word, but now that we've seen three matches, do you think it's a rebuild, what you're going through?
No, I don't. I don't think it's a rebuild. As I said, the first, it's a bit of a hiccup at the moment of what we're going through, but I think a rebuild goes through and it takes a fair while. Like, Clarko still is competitive. He still wants to win every game. and we've still got a good enough side to make what we think are the finals. But we've got a big game on Monday, which is Geelong. They're 3-0. We need to go back and just start working together and moving the ball in the way that we know how.
When you're 0-3, the scrutiny becomes so much more
yes,
intense
it does.
On the player,
yeah,
as you're aware, and it becomes even more so on the senior players and the older players, the likes of yourself, Burgoyne, Gibson, etc. Your future, how are you going to deal with that over the coming months, mate? Because there will articles will be start to be written about his time is done at the footy club, or Gibson's time is done, or how are we going to deal with these older players? Mate, you're going to be in the middle of that.
I think everyone goes, so I went through that in 2012.
Yep.
I think the main thing is we've got to do is forget what media say. Is I'm there trying to help out Ruff in his leadership. I'm there trying to help the younger guys develop as players. We've got certain roles as older guys, and it hasn't been just this year. We've been trying to develop this for the last 3 or 4 years with the younger guys, with Ruff, with the emerging leaders coming through. So we've got certain roles there that we've got to focus on. And externally, whatever the media talk about it, it doesn't really come into contention. We've got to do our job as Clarko's given us and the coaches have given us over the last few years.
And you're focused on this season. Going forward, is there another year in Luke Hodge? Don't know that yet. Still thinking
about
that.
Mate, I'm trying to go week to week on this one. As Jody would know, it's when you get to 30, you take every year as it comes. How I was going last year, if I'd have been sore and banged up last year, I wouldn't have played on this year. So the body was feeling good. I got through all pre-season feeling good. The first couple of games, I feel really good. So in time, that will come. But yeah, my body's great at this stage.
You were adamant a moment ago that Alistair Clarkson, in your eyes, will see out at least his part of the contract, which is the end of 2019. Juddy mentioned the departure of Mark Evans. He's got a potential decision to make at his new club at Gold Coast Suns, and the relationship he's got with Clarko would have it that he'd have to ask him the question if he was to make a move. Alistair Clarkson last year was prepared to look at contracts that were in place with Mitchell and Lewis. You don't see him, though, Hodgie, the way you see it right now, at all, revisiting his own contractual arrangements.
Oh, I think if you spoke to Clarko, he's probably one to talk to about it. It's round three. You talk about Gold Coast. They just had a fantastic win. And I think Mark Evans spoke last week saying, talking about someone else coaching the Suns is ridiculous at this stage of the year. I'd say the same for this. Clarko's just signed a 3-year deal, and I'd have no reason why he wouldn't look to finish that off. And I said, that's my point of view. I think you'd have to talk to the big dog in charge to find his, but knowing him for as long as I have, I don't see him walking away from anything like that.
Great to have Luke Hodge with us here on the Friday Huddle, and always interesting to have someone right at the coalface of the game. I want to ask you a little bit about, you know, your great mate Jordan Lewis leaves and Sam Mitchell leaves and goes to West Coast. Just from a cultural point of view, I remember a similar thing. I can see Terry Wallace sitting in the box next to us. He sacked Leon Cameron, Brett Montgomery and Stephen Powell at our club. And they mightn't have been 1, 2 and 3 in the best and fairest, but they were culturally, I reckon, the three most important guys, the three of the most loved guys, three guys that really made the place what it was. Is there an element of that where Louis's not there anymore and you look at it and you go, God, that loyalty that was there, that great group you had, does it take away a bit of that? Is there a risk that you upset that part of it?
I don't think so. I think culture changes every time someone comes in or goes out of the club, whether it's an experienced player or a younger player. And the blokes that are stepping up into the leadership group now have been around Mitch and Louis, and they've seen what they've added to the club over the last 10 or so years. If anything, it's more exciting because you've got younger, fresher guys that are eager to step up and fill the void of a Mitchell and a Lewis.
How does your leadership have to change? And hopefully it swings around and you beat Geelong on Monday. But how does your leadership have to change leading a successful group to leading a group that got beat by nearly 100 points on the weekend?
Yeah, I don't think you can't get flustered. You've got to make sure you stick to the plan that the coach is there. Once you start doing things and changing things up, that's when you get in trouble. I've still got massive belief in the Clarko's game plan, the players there. The more we play together, the better we're going to get. And as I said, people have spoken about the Hawthorn game plan for so long. Everyone's on the same page. Their precision passing knows where someone's going to go before they get the ball, and they're all in sync. And that's what we're just pushing through at the moment. At the moment, we're not quite in sync, but so the longer you play footy together, the quicker that's going to come.
As a Hawthorn fan, I wake up today and I read that Jago O'Meara is out with a knee, and I go, oh, do I need to go, oh, or not?
Well, he was in there today running on the older G machine, and he was doing leg weights. So unless the physios are lying to me, it was a knock, as he copped last week, and they just weren't going to take a risk. And I think at this stage, I don't think I'd be taking a risk with him either.
Are we done with pummeling Juddy? Can we let Hodgie? Can we let Hodgie?
We're going on to Juddy next.
We can let you relax now, Hodgie. You're with us throughout the afternoon, which is fantastic, doing special comments and sticking with us on the Friday huddle. We are here, of course. It is Easter Friday. Jump on www.goodfridayappeal.com.au or call 1300 277 325. And donate and donate as much as you can, because they're doing a magnificent job. And I tell you what, when you have young children, you're only ever a day away, Damo, from something going wrong and then being sick and thinking
yes.
Turn around very, very quickly.
I've had a personal experience with that, Howie, and I know the wonderful work they do there.
Damo, plenty of news going on, and I don't say this lightly, but the world is a little bit on edge at the moment. There's talk of thermonuclear war. There's all sorts going on with your man Trump over there and what's happening in Korea. Not an area we normally get involved in, Juddy, but all this is going on, and you are on the phone as we speak to Homeland Security to bring us another big story, Damo.
Well, you're right. Hey, Donald Trump's new travel protocols in and out of America have claimed a former AFL player as we speak, and ex-Fremantle, ex-Carlton player, Juddy, your teammate of yours, ex-one, Robbie Warnock, is currently into, I think, hour 11 of being detained at LAX Airport result of what we've been told is a visa discrepancy. And as we probably have all experienced in some form, when you get to LAX, you're never sure if you're going to get through the line. But apparently he's been there for at least 10 hours, I've been told, and that's according to people who are very, very, very close to him, and hasn't got his phone, hasn't been able to communicate with anyone, and
Damo, this
not
is
sure when he's getting out.
This is not a visual medium, but you need to see how much Chris Judd is laughing at that news. That's giving you a fair bit of joy, Juddy, fair to
very
say.
Very fragile, Robbie Warnock. He may not make it out of this, but, you know, he had some good moments, so it's been great.
He had some good moments.
On field.
Is this an obituary? Not yet.
When you said Homeland Security, someone detained at LA, I wasn't thinking Robbie Warnock.
No.
I was probably thinking Swanee's having a gap year.
Yeah.
he may be more likely, but what would Robbie Warnock be up to?
He was off to Coachella.
He was off to Coachella.
To Coachella. So it'd be time for Robbie to start looking for some work. I would have thought. This may just be the spark he needs to get him into the real world.
You know what fascinates me about this story, and I know you can't ever talk about sources, and I respect that, but the fact that you said Robbie has no phone, so he can't contact anyone, yet you have somehow found that he is in the middle of an 11-hour siege-style situation.
Yeah.
Amazes me.
He's travelling, obviously, with another group who have alerted his family to it, and as such, they're aware of it, but they can't do anything. And I've also been told now that someone connected to the family is trying to get to Julia Bishop, who's the Foreign Affairs Minister, to sort this out, because obviously, as a family member, you would be a little bit concerned.
You would. And good luck to Robbie, and we hopefully he gets out of that. What else is bubbling away?
Thoughts are with Robbie and the Warnock family, too.
Thank you, Chris.
Make light of the situation.
No, quite serious. Look, let's start with the racism issue of the week, guys. We saw what happened last week in the showdown. There were brawls at the ground, but the issue that's the ongoing issue is the racism one. And I thought the way the two clubs got together during the week and were very collective in how they approached this situation. There's a few angles and a few spin-offs and a few topics I want to delve into, but probably the best way to do it, guys, is to revisit what Eddie Betts said himself over the racism directed to him on 5AA during the week.
It's been a tough week. It affects me, but it affects people around me more. You know, my wife, Anna, she was very upset with it this week. You know, just the hatred of it. You know, she was teary, so... Hmm. You know, our kids are Indigenous and they'll have to grow up with this stuff as well.
As I said, the two clubs were, I think, handled it really, really well. Gillon McLachlan, very proactive, very early in the piece on this. And it's an issue, clearly, that has had a history in that previous game, in the showdown before. So, look, I feel footy, as a rule, is getting better in this space and the reaction to it is getting better. But it's still far from being eliminated, Dave.
Dave, it's heartbreaking to hear that and the personal side of it, and it's not acceptable and it's awful in every sense. But I look at it a little bit the other way. I see a record crowd there, nearly 55,000 people at that game, and there are two imbeciles who still, you know, in 2017 feel as though that has place. The thing that is brilliant about it is that they get called out instantaneously now. I heard the girl interviewed on TV. She's obviously not quite right, and that's a shame, but... But aside from that, it's not acceptable. It's pulled up instantaneously. And 99.995% of people actually get it now. And I think we're in a much better place. One instance, not good enough. But I think the positive story is we've come a long, long way on that front.
Do you feel, Dust, that the way it was covered this week, in a big picture sense, it's better to do it that way than to ignore the one voice amongst 54,000.
I get a little bit upset with, you know, AFL racism scandal, racism in football. You know, it almost paints a picture as though that would become a place, or you would imagine anyone that I would know or any of these two champions alongside me would have played with would have those views. They're not the views of anyone in any walk of life you would meet apart from one or two random lunatics, essentially. So I get a bit upset that that's the portrayal of it. Not as upset as you would be if you're Eddie Betts and his family. I take that in context. But overall, I think the game has come a long, long way on that front.
Sean Burgoyne, your teammate in his role at the AFL Players Association, released a statement. Is this something that gets discussed between the footy players at a club, Hodgie?
No, I saw the statement and then went and chatted with Shaunie throughout the week, just sort of seeing how he's going. Because not only he knows Eddie very well, but he's also been affected in the past from stupid comments that have been set out in the footy field. But as Eddie said, he goes, it's he's handling okay because he's obviously understands the education side of things that people in their right mind wouldn't go and say that. But it's affected his wife, it's affected his kids, and I think that's the hardest thing for Eddie and for Sean.
Well, how does that conversation roll out between you and Sean in that situation?
It was just Sean and myself in the locker room. I just sort of said, mate, how are you going with all the Eddie stuff? And you could sort of see his face. It went pretty plain, and he just, I'm okay. And I said, oh, how's Eddie going? He goes, I've texted him a couple of times. You just sort of see, it was more, not anger, it was more disappointment.
Is it here we go again?
I think, Sean, from what I understand, they reckon it's come a long way. Sean reckons it's come a long way from where it was 10 years ago. But as I said, it's more that disappointment. As Dar said, there's still the minority. There's a very few people who think, oh, hang on, that's a funny call. And to hear the lady say that, oh, what, that's not that offensive. I think the part that gets Eddie and Sean and a few of the other boys is the fact that their family are sitting in the crowd, their family hear it, and then they hear it replayed on radio, replayed on TV. And all the issues that came back that their dads and their pas had, it seems to be coming back to them again. So I think they agree that it's a minority, but as I said, there's still very few that think it's okay and are silly enough to say it.
So, Dust, now that, I mean, just your point I'm interested in, because we did, as a collective media, as well as the collective approach from the two clubs concerned, agree to basically swamp it with coverage. Do you feel that we might be better off next time?
No issues with the coverage, no issue with the story. I think that there is a positive story, and that's what I'm trying to say, is that I look at that as horrible as it is, and I, you know, as I said, knowing some of the great Indigenous players and the great friends, it just breaks your heart that still happens even once. But on a scale of how many people attend football, on a scale of how rare that is, and the fact that it's called out automatically to me, so that's a good day. That I think that's going to be fewer and further between those incidents. So I see that as a massive step forward, albeit you're always going to have one person who has, you know, a strange view, Juddy, that we can't accept.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think the way the AFL and the media handled it was as good as it could have been, but I think the reality is there's no cure for stupidity, and we can't accept it. We need to keep looking to improve it, but there's always going to be idiots out there that don't do the right thing. And
I think that's why people understand it, yes, because the AFL and the media have put it out there. You go there, if someone says something stupid, whether it's a swear word or swearing at someone or it's racist, people turn around, point them out and say, you're an idiot, don't do that, get out, or you've got a number to call. So I reckon that it's got to that stage because everyone understands it's no going because of the media and the AFL pointing it out.
Something far less important than that, Howie, but still significant in the Geelong supporters' eyes is Harry Taylor's role at Geelong. And while it's been focused upon his lack of output, so to speak, the Cats are 3-0. Tommy Hawkins is having a good performance this year, kicking a lot of goals and being effective in a lot of other plays. Is it actually something that we on the outside may not be appreciating as to what it's doing to the team, Juddy?
Look, I can't remember seeing Tommy Hawkins have as many one-on-ones as he's had early on this year, and I think having those two key targets is just so important for both forwards. I look at Collingwood play, and even though Travis Cloke didn't have much of an impact for them on the field last year, I just think his presence and his ability to be able to draw a defender really open things up for Darcy Moore a lot more than he's experienced so far this season. So I think Geelong will be pretty happy with, as a collective, how it's working out so far.
Noted with interest, a photo came out during the week, real paparazzi style, of Jesse Hogan over there in WA. Damo, smoking a cigarette, probably didn't go down that well with the footy club, it'd be fair to say.
It didn't. As a person in the media, I don't know how, A, someone chooses to take that, and then, B, it's a story. But Melbourne Footy Club itself made it the story when it commented on it and alluded to the fact that it not being a practice that they would like their players to do. And I saw Nathan Jones, and I totally get it. He felt that it was not something that should be done either. But storm in a teacup in my eyes, Howie, in terms of how it was done.
I think that's social media. I think now whenever anyone sees someone doing something wrong or something against what they think they should be doing, it's a snap, it's going to tweet it and put it somewhere else. But I think Hogan would probably think it was probably a silly thing to do in a music festival. But as you said, in the long run, it's a minor little blemish. And I don't think he's going to get too much of a rap over the knuckles about it.
Do you blame Maxi Gawn for setting up that sort of a culture where that's acceptable, Purple?
Yeah.
Is that your point?
Have you ever had a teammate, Hodgie, that has been fond of the darts?
I did. It was back about 2004. We were going through a tough time at Hawthorn, and Swabby got all the players in there and said, who's doing everything right? Who's the most professional here? And two blokes put up their hand. It was Shane Crawford, as you'd expect, who's done everything correct in his career. And the other person was Adrian Cox. Sobby fires back at him and said, are you still smoking? And Coxie goes, yep. He goes, put your bloody hand down.
As we welcome along Luke Darcy. Now, Darcy, the thing I've noticed about the Friday huddle is we're very much a team. And we get behind our members. And Juddy's pointed out, he's come in as Hodgie and said, as a captain, you need to lead. You need to be part of a team and you have to support your teammates. And we're supporting you today as you go out to perform what's going to be a pressure-filled act.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, Howie. Probably not 100%. I think we might have a few technical issues there, but I think we're back live. So when you get the email come through, Hodgie, Juddy and Damo saying, will you go out and raise some money for the Rural Children's Hospital? That's a rhetorical question, that one. That's not one that has an answer that says no attached to it.
Yeah,
so,
true.
The challenge is, thanks to Bob Jane Team Arts, they're putting up, I think it's a couple other people, I don't know off the top of my head, going out there to kick a ball at quarter time, Juddy, Hodgie, and it's $100 a metre. So I kick it 75 metres, which is probably where I'm thinking. That's $7,500. Now, yesterday, knowing this was coming up, I was down the park having a kick with the kids, which I do regularly because I've got four of them. And I've, with the Ozkick style ball, I've tried to launch one and nearly ripped my hammy off the moment. So my great fear is I'm going to tear a hamstring out there. But what do you reckon? Drop punt or torp?
I think you have to go the torp.
Yeah, you've got to go for glory.
So
sure.
If I do that and it goes sideways, you'll have my back, Juddy?
Well, you will have let down the kids then, Dust.
I think you've worn the leery trackies. You can't go half-hearted
mate,
with a drop punt now.
These are my kicking tracks, Juddy.
Have they shrunk, so shrunk in the wash or not?
Well, I couldn't wear the jeans in if you're going to go out on the 88 surface. Right,
so a big drop punt.
Big drop punt,
you reckon? I reckon you could go back. You'd be a 55, 60-metre drop punt without a shadow of a doubt.
All right.
And any metre you're short, you should top it up.
Oh, yes. Oh, now, this is making sense. This is what you get from the captain.
So, what's par?
55.
Par.
55
mate,
par.
I last played in 2007. I'm a 41-year-old father of four. 54, you're going to give me. I reckon I'm going to go the barrel. I'm going to go the glory.
And this is going down at quarter time, and a real excitement for Triple M listeners. You need to slide off a couple of moments early, so the chew man will be sliding into a little bit of commentary as
ball
well.
Ball by ball style
chew. He will be doing ball by ball.
Have we thought this through?
Not really.
I'm not sure that's a good thing.
Must listen. Well, it was chew man or Damo, and Damo's got other things to do.
All right.
Hey, good luck with that, Darcy.
All right.
Just before you leave off the topic, Darcy, you've got a considerable amount of swagger, and you're very happy in your own skin.
This is true.
Of all the people I know, you justifiably carry yourself with an air of confidence.
That is a ridiculous
call. I've never seen your shoulders sink as much as they did in the dad break when Juddy just looked across and asked you the question in typical Judd arrogance. Bring those tracksuit pants are long enough, Ducks.
And it was a fair question because they are riding
a
little high.
They just cover your knee.
Riding a little high. Fair to say, this is the first time I've worn trackies in the Triple M box. But as I said, there's a reason behind it. And all will be paid off at the end.
So you've got the trackies on, you've got the little slide on
they're a long
Nikes.
Short.
Are you going to wear some spikes out there, some studs?
Oh, no, I've got the runners. But you know,
you might slide over.
You know, I've got it in my head. There's a bit of vision. I'm trying to find it, Hodgie. You might have seen it. Chief Dunstall, I reckon in his early 20s, and he's doing a footy clinic. Looks like he's in a farm and he's wearing Blundstones. And they go, oh, great Jason Dunstall, can you kick the ball? So Chief sort of, he would have been happy with that. You know him very well, Hodgie. He gets a footy and he tries to kick the cover off it, loses his feet completely and lands on the back of his head, almost concussing him. I need to find it. It's one of the funniest bits of his.
This could be your John Howard moment.
Well,
today.
Pakistan. The old leggy that didn't come out right, Juddy.
That's exactly what I've got going through my head.
Well, your man Eddie McGuire did this in a suit.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah. Yes.
But he wore boots.
He wore a brand new pair of Adidas Copa Mundial. So I'll be in the short tracksuit pants.
You know, Duck did it too and totally embarrassed himself too a year earlier.
With a million dollar kick.
Totally shanked it. It went right angles, like a square cut.
You know, I was out there actually at the time when Duck did it. This is the greatest player in the history of the game who's kicked more goals than Domino. He had speeds of sweat coming off his head, knowing fully well the amount of flak that was going
on. And you were commentating on it, I reckon, at the time and absolutely torched him. And that won't happen to you today at all.
Hodgie's got my back. Juddy, I'm a bit worried about.
You can see those tracksuit pants at the Triple M Footy Facebook page at any moment. You can look on now. They are, well, they're outrageous. They're about a foot too short. You're more your knickerbocker style.
Very hard
setup
to get the extra long tracksuit pants. Good tracksuit pants.
A valued member of the Friday Huddle is Neralee Meadows. She is down in the Kangaroos rooms now. G'day, Nez.
Yes, thank you very much. I've got Ben Brown with me. Ben, before the first ever Good Friday Footy Clash, you know exactly what this day means as far as the Good Friday appeal goes. Your little cousin Grace, it's her birthday today, but she finds herself in hospital. Tell us about that.
Oh yeah, she was in hospital. She's in remission now from cancer. She was diagnosed in 2012 with acute lymphoblastic leukemia, and spent the first 6 months after that diagnosis in the Royal Children's. And then after that, sporadically, as she underwent her treatment. So, and she nearly died at one point from cancer. So it's great that she's back and she's running around now, and she's the light of everyone's life. But at the time, it was extremely difficult for her and her family.
How nice is it for you to be able to play footy and contribute to the cause now?
Yeah, definitely. It's great. And we've tried to get there. I've been down every year at the Good Friday Appeal up until today. And I'm not able to today, obviously, with the game. But it's great that we can get out there. And we get a whole heap of people coming to the ground and supporting this this awesome event. And, it's great that we can get out and support it in that way.
Hey, Ben, thanks for joining us pre-game. Really appreciate it. Start of last year, you win your first 9 games. You're 2 games clear on top of the ladder and haven't had a lot of wins, it's fair to say, since then, 3 of your last 17. But for me sitting here tonight, there's a great feel about North Melbourne. You feel like there's a regeneration going on, a positive vibe, and that you're on the cusp of something good. Is that how you approach tonight, that despite not winning a lot, you feel like you're in reasonable form?
Yeah, definitely. It has been a different start to this year than it was last year, but we are feeling positive. We felt like we've played some really good footy the last couple of weeks, and we just need to put it together now. And this game is a great chance to start in that and try and win a few games on the trot, hopefully.
How about yourself, Ben? In the time you've been in the AFL, which is still a short period of time when it's all said and done, you've been unable to do a proper pre-season. How have you found the first 3 rounds with that in mind?
Yeah, I've felt like I've gotten through pretty well. I've pretty much played close to full game time, and one of the things I've never been too worried about is my fitness. That's been one of the things that I've always been able to pick up on and play the way I want to play without too much preparation, which has been good. Obviously, it would have been nice to have a bit more of a pre-season this year, but I feel like I've hit the ground running, and hopefully we can just get a couple of wins now. That'd be nice.
Ben, with obviously Wadey out injured, you got Drew Petrie, who's obviously at West Coast now. You're more of the vocal point. I think you've had 3 times more targets kicked you inside 50. How's your role changed this year?
Yeah, it is definitely different. Hopefully we get Jared back soon. He's a massive part of our side. But, we've had guys like Braden Pruce and Goldie trying to come down and have their own impact, and they've been doing that in their own way. And it's been good for me to have a bit more of a chance as the key forward and in the side and the real focal point. And that's what I want to be aiming to do in the future. So if I want to take on that role, I've got to start somewhere, and that's right now.
Ben, watching you guys play your footy, I always feel like you're about a 10% better side at Etihad Stadium. Is that how you feel?
I don't know about that. I think we like to play at any ground on any given day, but we definitely like coming to Etihad. When the roof's shut and you get a great atmosphere with all the North fans showing out for home games, it definitely gives us a bit of a lift. So, we'll come out tonight. It should be almost a finals-like atmosphere this afternoon, so we're really looking forward to it.
Have to ask you about Big Braden Pruce, 109 kilo. He's the most intriguing person in the game for me at the moment, Big Ben. Tell us a bit about him. What sort of unit is he?
Yeah, he is. He's a very intriguing character, Braden. But the main thing from my perspective is ever since he got to the club, he's put his head down and he's really wanted to work hard and get better. And I think we're all seeing the fruits of that hard work now. And he's one of the guys who's the last off at the training track, and you know, he'd get off the training track in pre-season, strap the boxing gloves on and do 10 minutes, which not a lot of guys are keen to do, you know, post a pre-season training session. So, you know, it's just all credit to him that he's put in the hard work, and we're seeing the fruits of that now.
And Ben, you've got an ex-Bulldog, Nathan Robat, amongst your ranks at the moment. Have you drawn on his intel this week?
Oh yeah, definitely. He's you know, any player that comes to another club tries to share what they can. That's just part of footy, I suppose, when guys cross over clubs. But yeah, we've tried to draw on it a little bit, but I think the main thing you always focus on going into a game is the way you want to play, and that's been the major focus for us this week. We don't want to worry too much about our opposition. We just want to focus on the way we want to play footy, and we've been building towards a win. We think so. Hopefully it starts tonight.
Speaking of Ben Brown on the Friday Huddle, Ben, I know you're going through the work of becoming a sports journalist. You write some very nice articles. Is it true you're modelling yourself on the career of Damien Barrett?
maybe, guys. Yeah, just finished my journalism degree, actually. So, yeah, it's good to get that done. And, you know, maybe it's something for the future. Who knows?
So, in your journalism hat, mate, just take us into the rooms before we let you go. Put your journalist hat on and describe what you see. Describe the build-up for the Kangaroos on Easter Friday.
Oh, I think we're very relaxed at the moment. You know, really probably focusing on a game a little bit later. The boys are just having a bit of a kick around in the rooms at the moment, but it'll be game faces on shortly.
Yeah. Damo, you got room for an apprentice? You could take the big Benny under your wing? What do you think?
I've seen some of Ben's work, and I think he's got a fair degree of talent in that space, does. Puts a very nice phrase together.
Wouldn't hurt you to just put your arm around him, maybe help him out a little bit, Damo.
If he gets defensive, Darcy, he sees blokes taking his paycheck.
He wants
and he
nothing
steers
to
away
do with
it.
This. Have you noticed that? Or not?
He's, because he's still a footballer, Darcy, I've never known a footballer to be totally ever 100% honest, except for Jason Ackermanis. We know what happened to him in the end anyway. So until he stops playing, right, he can't be a proper journalist.
Ben, we appreciate your time. Best of luck today, and best of luck with that career, and maybe you can get a little role as Damo's offsider. That'll be a big, big thing for you.
Sounds good. Thanks very much, guys.
Ben Brown joining us on the Friday Huddle.
He goes long to the attack, and Benny Pickin! Pickin with a big mark over the top!
Now back to Pickin, and he's kicked another one. Ah! Dropped what he should have taken. Ground level Pickin, straightens up. Sausage! Sausage! Bulldogs have busted it out to 7 points.
He doesn't go for goal. He goes to Pickin in the Pickett kicks the goal. He's got three. Unbelievable.
He might be a superstar, Liam Pickin, but I tell you what, our next guest, and I've been put onto her website, uncannyannie.com.au. Everyone in this box needs to purvey it, Darcy.
You do indeed.
This opens your eyes to what happens in the female world, in all sorts of different worlds.
I love it. It's fantastic. And what a great pleasure it is to have Annie Nolan with us. Uncanny Annie, go and check out the vlog. And I'm very much looking forward to this, Annie. Great to meet you, and thanks for joining us here on Triple M Footy.
Thanks, guys.
The wife of Liam Pickin. Now, firstly, we've got you in here because we like to find out the other sides of the footballs. Yep. But Annie, you've got a really close association with today and the Royal Children's Hospital. Yep. Your second and third children, your twins, were born far, far, far too early.
Yes, they're impatient. They knew the footy season was coming, so they were born in March, and they were meant to be born in July, the first week in July, so they were born at 27 weeks, and yeah, spent 4.5 months in hospital, and yeah, we know what it's like to be around hospitals, and yeah, give generously today. It means a lot.
And Annie, were they less than the size of a TV remote when they were born?
Yeah.
Did I read that? There's a great story on Channel 7 today you need to watch that Annie and Leon have done. I mean, amazing that they were able to care for them, and they're going beautifully now.
Yeah, they're going so well. They were really small. My engagement ring fit all the way up Cheska's arm to her armpit. We have pet rats at home. Don't freak out, guys.
Makes sense.
And our rats are a kilo, so they're heavier than what the girls were when they were born, because they're about 700 grams when they were born. And yeah, they were just so tiny. Like the Barbies or whatever that they play with are longer than what they were when they were born.
Amazing.
So very small.
Nobody complains more about small children than me, Annie. And I have this theory with the twins that in 3 years' time it'll actually be a lot easier because they'll just amuse each other and I'll be able to get back to a bit
of
couch time.
Right.
Is that what I'm in for?
I'm serious. Yeah, it does. It totally gets easier. I hope that that's some comfort to you. It gets harder in other aspects. You'll see on the TV today that they fight, you know, a lot more. But they do. They get so much easier. It's hard doing, you know, double nappies, double feeding and all that sort of stuff. So
it looks hard when Beck's doing it, Annie. Now, you're a well-known vegan, Annie. And we believe Liam eats land walkers. Is there any sort of conflict there? And how does that manifest itself when mealtimes are being cooked?
So I do the majority of the cooking because, you know, he complains. And so he mostly eats vegan. He eats like probably 90% vegan, but then he comes from a farming background. Which, so it's very hard in our relationship, but I think he's going to get across the line someday soon. Our son is vegetarian, so I'm making more progress than the kids.
If he knows what's good for him, you listen to Annie, and I think that is going to happen. I think the great news is he's going to play, Annie, because he was concussed last week and some doubt whether that was going to be the case. He took the day off Monday, but I'm told pretty happy to get back to work on Tuesday.
Yes, he was saying to us that myself and the kids hanging around the house gave him a bit bigger headache than the concussion did. So he was very happy to go to work on the Tuesday. And I think he actually might have stayed a little bit extra on the Tuesday.
Did the kids look after him at home? Any special treatment after copping a big knock last week?
No, that's the reality. Like, you know, very sad to see it happen. But as soon as he walked through the door, there was no sympathy. Oh, you're fine. So get out of bed,
Dad. You talked about sad to see it happen. You sent something out on Instagram last week of your children watching your husband in all sorts of trouble on a footy field.
Yeah, so my daughters were in bed, but my son was up. And when he got hit, I feel like I'm a little bit traumatised by just being in the room at that time because, you know, we see it happen. We're on the other side of the country and Maliki was just screaming at the TV going, "Get up, Dad, get up, Dad, get up, Dad," and crying. And so that's really, really hard. And a half an hour after, you know, when my son had settled down, I thought, oh, I'm going to post something about this because, you know, you saw on Twitter, some people take happiness when, because Liam was, I think, playing okay. So a couple of people were like, yes, he's out, you know, and it's just never okay, I don't think, to take joy in, like, people being injured.
Has that affected Malachi with his football at all? Is he sort of said he doesn't want to play now, or is he
no.
still keen to go?
He's a pickin'. What do you think?
Nah.
But I reckon, Annie, that's something we don't appreciate. We come to the footy, and we see a bloke knocked out, and hopefully he's up and okay. We don't often think about the other side, which is the families or the mums or dads or the kids sitting at home watching their loved one going through something really traumatic.
Yeah, totally. And actually, a few people said to me that they did think of us straight away, but I actually thought of Liam's mum straight away because I think to see your child be knocked out would be terrifying. So, I suppose just human, believe it or not, that's what they are. So, yeah.
There's obviously a fair bit of good about what's going on with Liam out in the ground too, and you've been with him for the duration of his AFL career, known him a lot longer than that. But just even the last couple of, I suppose, matches, if you want to contextualise it, he's become an overnight sensation, hasn't he? Almost since the start of the final series last year, despite having a career that's already very good and already very long.
Yeah, he's been playing amazing. I try to not talk about it too much because he might get a big head. And no, he's been doing so well and I'm so proud of him. I am his biggest fan. I know there's some fans in the cheer squad that might, you know, want to battle me on that one. But I am his biggest fan, so I'm so happy to see him happy and doing so well.
And I remember speaking to Liam, he said that you two actually went to school together, but you refused to speak to him because he was a dork. Is there any truth to that that rumour?
Yeah, we were in the same, like, colour house and all that, and he might have been good at sport, but I'm so good at talking. So, I didn't sit with Liam. And he was 3 years older than me, but I was still way too cool.
I love it. You're hearing the voice of Annie Nolan, the much better half of Liam Pickin. Great to have her with us here on a Friday leading into this historic game. Good Friday footy for the first time. I get the feeling Luke Beveridge is Liam Pickin's biggest fan, your husband, because the moment he walked in the door, he saw a lot more in Pico than perhaps previous coaches have done. Do you see a bit of a special relationship between those guys?
Definitely. Aside from the matching hairdos, they do. Bevo is just the most amazing coach. I'm the first one to say it. He actually, when he came to the club, his wife came up to me and she goes, "Oh, Annie, how is Maliki, Delphi and Cheska?" And I'm the first one to admit my kids' names are not easy. So for them to have even, like, you know, done that research would have meant so much. They just genuinely care about, like, the individuals and their families, and obviously bring such success being that type of coach and, you know, and having his family as well. Like,
What was grand final day like for you, Annie, and the kids?
full on. I just cried. I just cried for so long. I look back on the photos going, oh my God, I have mascara all over my face every single one of these photos. But yeah, it was pretty amazing. I actually went for a walk. I'm notorious for walking out on games when they're a bit close. And I went for a walk in the fourth quarter and we were sitting on the higher level and I went down to try and run away because I just wanted to pretend like it wasn't happening. And I saw Liam take his mark right in front of me on ground level. And I don't have very good eyesight, so it was like a blessing in disguise that I'd gone for the walk. And yeah, it was the most amazing day. It was, I mean, I got to watch my husband fulfill his dream. Yeah. So can I ask for more? I don't think so. And maybe my own dream, you know, would be really good. But.
Do you get a special moment afterwards where you get to say congratulations or how do you roll that out?
Well, I did look for him, but I found the Hemsworths. Ah. So that just went like straight out the door. And Liam was saying, you know, you found the other Liam, but I actually did not see him after the game. It wasn't until we went to the formal function. But I found the main Liam, the Liam Hemsworth, so it was okay.
How'd you go with that, Hodgie? Not seeing your better half until the post-match function. After your three.
No, we got handed the kids straight away, so we had to look after them for the first hour while the wives went and had a drink.
Annie, we really appreciate you coming in and having a chat. Just before you go, uncannyannie.com.au, it's got me hooked. Just tell all the listeners of the Friday Huddle, if they jump on, what type of things they're going to experience.
Lots of my opinion, which I don't know.
You're not sure of.
Okay, I'm not sure of. Yeah, there is a lot about football on there because that's just part of our life. But yeah, lots about our story. And obviously today being the Good Friday Appeal, I'm right behind everything that they're doing. And lots about our own story with premature babies is on there too. So yeah. A
get
big
on board
array,
and have a look.
Lots of rescue pets that Liam has no say in whatsoever.
And a rat. Have you still got the rat?
Yeah, we've got two rats, two hairless dogs.
What's the rats called?
And Unicorn and Bert.
Why rats?
Because Liam again has no say. I just take in animals. I can't help it.
But rats, Annie.
I know, but they do have a little tiny mini football, so is that okay? Does that pass?
Hairless dogs,
I know. And the funniest thing is I got the hairless dogs thinking, oh, Liam will be like all the other boys, take him to the beach, you know, like, and Liam's like, I am not taking those, you know, they're very flamboyant dogs to the beach with all my mates who have staffies and stuff.
Are they bred to be hairless or they just become hairless?
Yeah, no, they're Chinese crested, so they just don't have hair. Okay. Yeah.
So you can either take the hairless dogs the rats to the beach. That's your choice.
Yeah, exactly. Poor Liam.
Annie, thanks for coming in. Uncannyannie.com.au. Wonderful to chat with you.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.